The U.S. Supreme Court is returning to the battle over affirmative action. Today, the court announced that next term it will decide whether public schools may use race as a factor when they're assigning students to schools in order to promote racial diversity. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Just 3 years ago, the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, reaffirmed a 25-year-old decision that allowed state colleges and universities to use race as a factor in college admissions. The 2003 decision, written by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, seemed to settle the affirmative action question to a large extent, and in December, with O'Connor still on the bench, the court let stand and declined to review a lower court ruling that allowed secondary public school assignments based in part on race in Lynn, Massachusetts. Today, just months later, with Bush appointee Samuel Alito now having replaced O'Connor, the court said it will examine that very issue in cases from Seattle, Washington, and Louisville, Kentucky. As Fordham Law Professor Robin Lenhart put it,
I would have expected the court to wait at least another year or two before returning to this issue.
While the timing may seem a mark of unusual aggressiveness by a new court led by new Chief Justice John Roberts, there's no doubt that the court's 2003 decision on college admissions left important questions unanswered. After all, while the court agreed that racial diversity was important to higher education, the justices also required that individual assessments be made for each college or university applicant. And at the secondary school level, that is simply impractical. In Seattle, for instance, a city with 46,000 students and 10 public high schools, any child can go to any high school. But if a school becomes oversubscribed, says the school board's lawyer Ken Madden, other factors become tiebreakers.
Siblings first. Proximity is second, unless the school is out of balance.
A school becomes racially out of balance when the city's 60-40 white-to-minority ratio is off by 15 percentage points in either direction in a given grade at a school. Then race becomes the second factor in deciding who gets in. Lawyer Madden.
What the Seattle plan that's at stake in this litigation does is it allows students to have an option not to be confined by the demographics of their neighborhood.
But a group of 50 to 100 parents whose children did not get their first choice sees the Seattle plan as a denial of the Constitution's guarantee to equal protection of the law. Their lawyer is Harry Correll.
Skin color is what's driving the school district here, and we object to that.
Seattle has a 40-year history of promoting racial diversity in its public schools. Ironically, though, it abandoned the plan at issue in this case 4 years ago because of what it saw as the uncertainty created by the litigation. Since then, say officials, some schools have become whiter and some more black and Asian. The situation in Louisville differs from Seattle in one important way. The Louisville schools were once segregated by law and until relatively recently were under court order to desegregate. The Louisville plan is an attempt to avoid resegregation. But as in Seattle, the question before the Supreme Court is whether the state has a legitimate and constitutional interest in promoting racial diversity. In short, whether race can be considered at all, and if it can, how much. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.